Just a quick note, we'll be right back to the podcast. I want to let you know about a new network for beer industry professionals. It's called the Beer Business Finance Association. It's an organization of financial pros, just like you, looking to improve financial results, increase profitability, connect with your peers, and share best practices. So I'd love to tell you a little bit more about this. If you are interested in learning more, please email me, Carrie@beerbusinessfinance.com. That's K-A-R-Y at beerbusinessfinance.com. Or you can visit bbfassociation.org. That's bbfassociation.org to learn more. Welcome to the Craft Brewery Financial Training Podcast, where we combine beer and numbers to provide you with tips, tactics, and strategies so that you can improve financial results in your brewery. I'm your host, Carrie Shumway, a CPA, CFO for a brewery, and a former CFO for a beer distributor. I've spent the last 20 years using finance to improve financial results in our beer business. Now I'm helping other craft breweries to do the same. Are you ready to take your brewery financial results to the next level? Okay, let's get started. Today on the podcast, I speak with Andrew Copeland from SecretHopper.com. Secret Hopper is a secret shopping service for tap rooms and brew pubs. In our conversation, Andrew talks about the different types of data and insight that businesses can expect to receive from their Secret Hopper reports. We talk about how someone might get started with Secret Hopper and what the onboarding process looks like. And Andrew has tons of data to share from 6,000 unique taproom visits conducted over the years. We talk about how menus can impact spending habits. We talk about upsell techniques, about how taproom data can be a powerful tool for brewery owners and managers to create not only more memorable experiences, but also more profitable ones. So for now, please enjoy my conversation with Andrew Copeland from Secret Hopper. Andrew Copeland, welcome to the podcast.
Carrie, it's always a pleasure to chat with you on whatever topic of the day we discuss.
I know, it is. Wonderful to see you. So today, the topic is Secret Hopper. So I want you to tell us, we've done a couple podcasts before, folks may or may not have listened to those, and I'll link to those in the show notes, but for folks who aren't familiar with you or what you do, please tell them a bit about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so in 2017, I had this crazy idea that it was about more than just the beer. In 2017, there were only 5,000 breweries, and you know, Carrie, now we're only at 10,000 breweries. But in 2017, a lot of brewery owners and managers still had the philosophy, if you brew it, they will come. As we've seen the past few years, the number of breweries has increased and all the unique challenges we face over the past few, you have to do more than make great beer. You have to put out the whole experience that people crave. So we created Secret Hopper to help provide feedback on that taproom experience that not only makes it more valuable for your guests and making it more memorable for them in that same time, but also making it more profitable for you and your staff.
Yeah. So Secret Hopper, it's a secret shopping service for taprooms. So people come in and basically evaluate what's going on, right? I mean, they come in and give you feedback on the customer experience and the atmosphere and all those good things. Maybe take us through, kind of just an example of how that works, you know? So what, for someone who's sort of listening to this, like, all right, I know what a secret shopper is, but how would that work if somebody, you know, were to sign up for this and go into their tap room? How does that, just generally maybe an example?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure every brewery owner out here reads reviews on Google, Yelp, and dare I say, even Untappd. But what we do is able to provide a deeper level of detail based off that individual experience. We send shoppers to your tap room where they're going to have a flight followed by a pint, maybe even a little food. And we give them 25 to 30 data points that they can look into. And the bulk of these data points, they're yes, no question. Did something happen? Did Carrie greet me upon entry? Did he offer recommendations? There are things that have a definitive answer. The other type of questions we include are more time-based. You know, how long did it take for Carrie to greet me? How long did it take for him to thank me after I left? We give these really definitive answers. That way it either happened or it didn't, and it happened in a certain manner. And we know as brewery owners and managers, you all are so busy. You know, in my early years, I was a mystery shopper at Cheesecake Factory, and I remember going going. And I would literally, Carrie, have to fill out like a 10-page report on my experience at Cheesecake Factory. It took me longer to fill out the silly report than it did actually eat my lunch when I was there. And brewery owners don't have time to read these reports. You have 3 minutes that we're going to give you where you're going to read it and say, "Oh my gosh, Carrie did an amazing job. We really need to work on Andrew." You're going to read it, have those actionable takeaways, and you're going to make more profitable and more memorable experiences in your tap room. And we do this by sending an average 4 shoppers a month to visit your tap room. We send them different days of the week, different time slots. You know, they're going to approach different staff members, and they're going to provide feedback on different levels of busyness. Then you're going to be able to read all these reports in a little over 10 minutes, take them to your team, get them excited about being better, because it's going to make everybody's experience better at your brewery. It's going to get your team seeing higher tabs, higher tips. It's going to get you seeing your team stick around even longer. Everybody's going to make a little more money. It's a way to motivate your staff to be better brand advocates for your brewery.
That's very cool, all those things. So you have 25 to 30 data points, questions, yes, no type things. And were these developed? I imagine these were sort of developed over time. And you know, you and I have talked a lot about, you know, the reason you're checking on certain data points, in other words, like were you greeted when you came in and were you thanked when you left, is that there's data to sort of correlate with. When you do these things, you actually see an increase in, you know, whether it's the customer tab or tips or both. So maybe just speak a little bit about the data points that are in there, how they're developed, and whether those can be kind of customized by the taproom to
Yeah,
fit.
great question there, Carrie. When we first started, our whole premise was the little things can make a really big difference in your tap room. Something like, you know, introducing yourself or greeting the guest upon entry. It's one simple step. But when you can train your staff and get them really excited about these little habits, they start stacking them. And Carrie, I know you love the process of like stacking habits from our buddy, you know, James Clear. But the more you can train someone to do these little interactions with staff, a guest, it's going to better the experience for everyone. And one thing I like to point out is a lot of these actions and data points that we collect, I'm going to say it straight up, they don't matter to the guests. Think about it, Carrie. Have you ever left a brewery and said, "Geez, Andrew didn't introduce himself"? The odds are that probably has never, ever happened. Same with you're probably not going to get upset if someone doesn't encourage to-go beer. But guess what? These things, these little actions, have value for your team members and for your brewery. For example, staff that introduce themselves, a simple, "Hey, I'm Andrew. Welcome to Andrew's Brewery," they're going to see tab 25% higher compared to visits when staff don't for their name. Just little things like that go a long way, but certain things like, you know, in offering your name at the beginning of a visit, it's really setting the tone. The odds are that your team member who's going to introduce themselves, they're probably going to offer better recommendations. They're probably also going to offer that second beer. They're going to encourage beer to go. They're going to thank the guest on the way out. And those are just 5 quick behaviors that we provide data points on that when you just have one, yeah, it might make a little bit of difference. But when you can get your staff to authentically do all those behaviors without thinking about them, it's going to better the experience for everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I love that saying too, the little things really do make a difference. And then you sort of incorporate them and then they become second nature and then you're just doing them and then you can stack on the next. But it's really like a feedback loop, right? If you're trying to train your staff to do things a certain way, you're not going to look over their shoulder all day, but you know, that customer feedback via the secret shopper coming in, the secret hopper coming in, is going to give you that feedback directly from someone experiencing it. Like they, you know, we're trying to train on greeting the guests, but you know, half the time it sounds like we're not doing that. So this is the feedback. How do we reinforce it? How do we retrain on it so that you can have these outcomes? Because they're not just, we don't want to do it just because we think it's cool. No, we're doing it because this is part of the experience that we want to create. And furthermore, it's good for our business because we have the data to correlate it. It does increase tabs.
And you said experience quite a few times in that past few sentences. And experience is so important because when guests are coming to breweries these days, of course they want quality beer. You know, that's the anchor of our industry. They're going to your brewery probably first and foremost for that beer. But in order to give them that wow experience that they all crave, you got to have that quality beer. You need to give them a memorable atmosphere, whether it's the music you have playing, the decor, even maybe the temperature of your brewery, maybe even the lighting. Also, that engaging staff, the staff that's there to build connections with your guests. That way, when you leave a brewery, Carrie, you're not saying, well, that was a delicious IPA or lager. You're saying, wow, that bartender or server was the best I ever had. I can't wait to come to that tap room again soon. And why does this matter? Why is it so important to engage at this high level? Engaged guests spend 30% more than people who go and receive a low level of engagement. You know, and think about it. You know, we've all been to a brewery where the staff member is just going through the motions. They're like they don't care. We refer to that as low engagement. But at the end of the spectrum, you get the other person who's welcoming you when you come in, you know, making sure you have the right pint, getting to know you on a personal level. That is a high level of engagement. And that's what you should always be striving for. One, because people are coming to your taproom to build relationships with others. Your taproom is a community center. People love coming. Give them a reason to return. Also, because it is, in fact, going to be more profitable for your business.
So the secret hopper comes in, they fill out the data points, the yes, no questions. This happened, that didn't. What does the reporting look like back to, say, the taproom owner or manager who's engaged with the secret hopper services? Where does the report look? Because 25 days, that seems like a lot to read over and digest and make sense of. How do you help them sort of kind of figure out what exactly is going on
I
with the
like to think of it as a two-page story. It's going to start with the guest walking in, and it's going to leave with the feedback on whether or not the guest thanked them and whether or not the guest would return. So you're starting at the beginning of the visit, you're going all the way through. There are a few open-ended questions where they can provide a little bit more feedback, but it's going to give you an understanding of, you know, what your team did awesome on that experience so you can reward them for it, or it might show areas of opportunity. You know, every now and then a brewery owner will email me and say, "Hey, Andrew," and we score our points. I want to state that there. We score the reports, and pretty much every question has the same value because it goes back to our philosophy of everything adds up to the big picture. But the brewery owner or manager might reach out and say, "Hey, Andrew, it seems like this guest had a really great time at our brewery, but our score is only this. You know, what did we do wrong?" And that's one thing I never like to say. I never like to say you did something wrong. These reports highlight what you did right, and they show areas of opportunity. So you might look at that report, and the guest, in fact, had a really good time. But there are little things that brewery owner can learn from it that could make a bigger difference. Like, for example, as I mentioned earlier, no one really cares if the staff member introduces themselves. But you could train your team to get a little bit better about that initial introduction. And you know, when you take these single data points, you can't throw a billion at your staff at once. You can't say, "Get better at giving your name, get better at checking, get better at encouraging beer to go." You're going to say, "Hey, this week, Carrie, I want you to be a little bit more intentional about giving your name to guests and just see what happens." And guess what? I bet when you compare the data from the week where you challenge your team to do that versus the prior week, you're going to see an increase in tab size and you're going to see an increase in tips because introducing yourself is a little way to build a better connection. But once again, you know, these scores, they're for both the brewery and to show the quality of the guest experience. Guest is never going to complain, as I mentioned, about encouraging beer to go. But if that's another data point you can focus on with your team, if you can get them a little bit better at selling crowlers, growlers, cans, whatever it may be, you're going to see higher tabs and higher tips, and you're going to see, you know, the guests spending more money. Now, Carrie, you ready for my favorite data point?
tell me it.
Okay, so we've said this a billion times, but I say it a billion times because it still blows my mind. You know, focusing on to-go beer. And once again, everyone, this is just one of the 30 metrics you can focus on, but I really like focusing on this one because it's mind-blowing. Just close your eyes and think about how many times you've been to a brewery, another brewery, not your own, and how often do they encourage you to get beer to go? Now, we quote a lot of data sets. We have data set from over 6,000 unique brewery visits over the past few years. And we see that staff encourage beer to go approximately 1 out of 5 times. Only 1 out of 5 times is a staff member saying, "Hey, Carrie, you really enjoyed that lager. You want to take some home." And we see that the guest is only making the purchase on their own when the staff doesn't ask 1 out of 10 times. It's actually 9%, but we'll say 1 out of 10 times. But when your team goes, "Hey, Andrew, you really enjoyed that Belgian triple. Would you like to take a big bottle of it home?" The guest says yes 49% of the time. 49%. And that really blows my mind because, of course, it makes sense by encouraging someone to authentically do something, they're probably going to do it. a 40% increase, making them nearly 50% likely to take beer home. These little things make a difference. And you and your team are super busy. You're doing all these little actions that add up to the big picture. So how can you say, Andrew, just focus on this one thing, it's going to make a big difference. Going back to the concept, it's following each week, challenge your team to get better at one little thing. That way it comes naturally. It's going to take time for this. Your team's going to have to find the authentic ways that they feel right encouraging it. We don't want it to feel forced. We don't want it to feel like a chain restaurant. We want to find unique ways that where you can ask these questions isn't trying to get a guest to buy something, but it's an opportunity for you to provide something that they need. Get them so excited about taking your beer home that they want to buy it. They want to take it home and share it with their friends. And they can't wait to tell that story of that taproom experience where Carrie was amazing and bring their friend back there the next time.
I love that idea of focus week. So if you were to let's say you're 25 data points, you work with the brewery and they're like, yeah, these are the things we really want to reinforce. And then, I mean, there's 52 weeks in a year, so you could rotate through everything twice. And this week we're going to focus on greeting the guests. Next week we're going to focus on offering to-go beer. The week after, whatever the cadence of that is. But I think I like that because it really simplifies it. And then you're getting that feedback from the customer, like, our focus, our training is working, not only because the guest is saying yes, they greeted me, but you'll see that in the numbers, and you can track that too. And that, and I want to go back to the score. So they get this report that's got the 25 data points, all the things that are, the areas of opportunities, things are working well. And then there's like one score. And I've heard clients that I work with reference this, and they use that almost as like a, here we go, KPI, a key performance indicator. Because one of their, we say measure what matters and, figure out what matters in your business, find a way to quantify it. And then you can kind of, focus on it and try to improve it. And I think this is a great way to do so. Maybe tell us a little bit more about the score. So I see the report, I see all the data points. Is it one score that's just like a number? What does that look like?
It's out of 100. So for our standard reporting, we customize it a little bit differently for tap rooms than brew pubs that do have food. So typically, it's going to be for the tap room specific one, 25 questions with a potential 4-point value. We do it a little bit differently for the brew pub style. So everything adds up to the big picture. So if you get that report, it's not just going to give a score of your guest, quality of experience or how well your staff did. It's the overall experience for everyone in your tap room. So ideally, that first month, you're going to get a score, and it's never a negative thing. The score is always, this is where you're starting. That first month is your baseline. The only place to go is up from there. So you get the score the first month, and the goal is to pick those KPIs you're focusing on over that second month and get your team excited about them. Getting your team buy-in for something like this is huge. We want everyone to want to be better. But the real goal is to take that first month score, get it higher the second month, and keep increasing it each month. And you might get to the point where we've worked with breweries who do this. They know they have a great taproom experience, Carrie. They know they are already wowing their guests, but they want to have the data to prove that they're doing it. That way they can take it back to their staff and say, Carrie, you were amazing with this guest last Tuesday. Here's some sort of a reward for being awesome. And using it as a way to continually motivate, reward, and recognize your team for doing a great job. And the breweries we see the most success with are the ones who like diving into the data. They're the ones who like rewarding the staff. They're the ones who take it before their team and give them challenges and get them excited about those challenges. People work in tap rooms for different reasons, and it's easy to say, hey, Carrie, go sell more to-go beer. But why are you really going to do it? Yes, I can show you the data that it's going to increase tabs, and that's definitely a start. But I'm really passionate about also getting your team motivated to do even better. And when I say that, it's important to understand why your team members are working there. Why is your taproom staff and servers working in your taproom? Are they working there just as a college job? Are they working there because they want to be the next taproom manager? Are they working there because they want to be an owner of their own brewery someday? It's really important to understand why your team is there. That way you can best, exceed their expectations and provide a wonderful experience for them. And when I talk about motivation, there's a few different areas of motivation you can use to motivate your staff. You can reward them, and you can reward them, you can recognize them, and you can give them future opportunity. And I want to focus on rewards for a second because I've got a fun story to share on this one. Meetings, Carrie, right? Are meetings typically fun?
No, short answer, no.
And so I think a lot of people feel that way, and a lot of breweries don't have meetings. We're not going to talk for an hour about the importance of meetings, but I think it is important to bring your team together, both in an educational setting where you're going over goals for the brewery, but also in a more informal setting so they can just simply spend time together and get to know each other a little bit better. But I was working with a brewery once. They had been in operation about 2 years. They had never had an entire staff meeting with everyone on their team. So we brought them together. And a lot of the focus of this was on education and on taproom techniques where they can, make the experience a little bit better, like we're talking today. So I asked everybody, I said, "Hey, everybody, what's going to make you sell more to-go beer on a Saturday afternoon? Whoever sells the most, what prize would you want?" Carrie, do you have any guesses what they said? Don't spoil it, please, if you know the story.
Cash.
Yeah, so some people said cash. Some people said, "Give me a few low fills." Some people said, "Just buy me dinner." But at the end of the day, all the team agreed upon that they wanted was the person who sold the most to-go beer that next Saturday was getting a $20 gift card to Chick-fil-A. Just a spicy chicken sandwich, a fancy sandwich, is all they wanted. And it motivated the team to all work a little bit harder that Saturday. And guess what? The brewery saw results. They sold more to-go beer. They saw higher tabs. But a really interesting thing is, and I love this, on tabs where the guest is being encouraged to purchase to-go beer, they're going to tip higher. That seems a little silly, right? People wonder whether or not guests are tipping on the, tab that they enjoyed in the tap room or also the to-go beer. But we actually see when a guest purchases to-go beer, they're going to tip higher than other experiences. And that's because the staff member who's encouraging to-go beer is also going to the other actions we've talked about so far. So they're starting with the hello and they're ending with the thank you and would you like to take any home? So it's really a sign of a highly engaged visit. But something like a Chick-fil-A gift card or another sort of physical reward, we think of that as I mentioned, a reward. And some people on your team will like rewards. So understanding what they want is important. But another area people like to feel motivated is being recognized. Simply bringing Carrie in front of the team and saying, "Hey, Carrie sold the most Crowlers last week. Good job, Carrie." Everybody clap their hands for Carrie. Or maybe a shout out in the email newsletter sent just to staff. That's recognition. When it comes to opportunity, this is why it's really important to understand your team's goals. What's Carrie looking for? Does Carrie want to be the taproom manager? Knowing his trajectory is really important. Is Carrie looking to go to an industry-wide conference? Does Carrie want to join a trade organization? What can you do to give Carrie more opportunity? And another overarching theme when it comes to motivation, people like to see progress in a positive direction. Think about Carrie. I know you go to the gym, right?
Love the gym. I love the
When
sauna.
you go to the gym, do they have that leaderboard that's showing, so and so worked out the most this week, top five performers? Or, think about maybe when you were in elementary school about 50, 60 years ago. Is that probably about right? So,
We can't use explicit language on this podcast,
I'm
but
gonna have
well,
to cut
you're
this part
baiting me
out.
to do so.
But if your school was having some sort of fundraiser to raise money for whatever the charity of the month was, they probably had that thermometer that showed the red line going higher and higher and higher. And the closer you saw it get to the finish line, the more everyone became invested in it. People like to see progress in a positive direction. It's just another way you can motivate people to be better towards a common goal.
That's great. You're very passionate about this subject, I can tell.
Early in the morning, I've had my coffee and we're talking about my favorite thing. So thank you for this opportunity.
That's wonderful. It is. It's great. No, because you really start with we sort of this is these are fancy words, but we talk about like the quantitative and the qualitative, right? So quantitative is what are the things that we can measure and put data around. And then the qualitative is the stuff you the sort of the intangible, the X factor. And that's all the things you're talking about, like motivation, engagement. These things that may be a little challenging to measure per se, but you know they're important, you know they yield good results. And I liked how you were sort of breaking that down to say that, once you identify an opportunity, that's really just the first, then now it's like, all right, how do you kind of close that gap? How do you connect? All right, we need to do better on, greeting guests or offering to-go beer, but how do you motivate someone to do that? It's going to be different depending on the individual. So it's not one size fits all. And I love how you say, just ask them, sometimes just say, what's important to you? Because you might be surprised. And you're right, it's rewards, recognition in areas of opportunity. But there's details within each one of those. You just really don't, well, what kind of reward? Because some people would say, I want cash. Others would, that spicy chicken sandwich sounds actually really good right now. Or it could be something entirely different. So I love the way that that's sort of a framework to think about it.
And maybe even doing customized rewards for each team member based off what they're looking for. And also, it's important to point out, just don't reward, recognize, give opportunity for your rock stars. If Carrie, if you're each month selling the most to-go beer, it can be really unmotivating for other people who just don't have the magic behind it. Those people we can definitely train to get a little bit better, but it could be really frustrating for them. So give rewards for the most improved. You know, find ways to recognize everyone and just get them excited, get them empowered, get them wanting to be better. Because if they can be more passionate about working at your brewery, that passion is going to jump across the bar to your guests.
So we've talked about a couple of, techniques, fundamentals, best practices that, staff can do to better engage with customers and therefore, help the taproom from a financial operational perspective. Let's dig in on a couple of other little tidbits for folks. And I want to talk about how the ordering experience has changed over the past few years. And, we've talked about this a bit in the past and how menus, it can really impact spending habits. So tell us a little bit about that and the data that you've got around that concept.
Yeah, so one quick story. I went to a brewery a few years ago for their grand opening. I walked in the building, and from the get-go, the ordering experience was confusing. I didn't know where to go. So you got to think about when you first walk into your tap room, imagine you've never been there before. Is a guest immediately going to know where to order? So before you even get to the menu, you want to make sure it's very clear where they can find the information that gives them the tool and the information to order. So you walk in, and this day I walked in with my wife and we looked at the menu. It was like an ordering counter, and I looked at the menu. And I'm looking up right now as we're recording this. I don't quite know why, but I'm looking up at the menu right now, and it's just a bunch of silly words, Carrie. No style of beer, no serving sizes, no prices, no information if they offer to go. It's just a bunch of words. And I wasn't cool enough to be in the know, so I didn't really know what this menu had. And the person behind the bar was awkwardly looking at me, waiting for me to say something. That just dives deep into the importance of offering recommendations and building connections with the guests. But, you know, I awkwardly ordered two half pours of the two beers that I had kind of heard of before, really not knowing what I was going to get. And the thing that really blew my mind, you know, what I just said wasn't ideal, but what happened next, I would argue, was even worse. They handed me two half pours. They didn't tell me which is which. Then I asked, and they said they didn't know. They weren't able to give me the tools to order the beer again. One of those beers could be the best beer I've ever ordered. I didn't have the information to make that order again. And that comes to, you know, a conversation of maximizing ex ordering experience. You want to make it clear. You want to remove frustrations. You want to make it so streamlined. It's easy for the guests that they want to spend more money. And menus have a huge impact on that. You know, a few years ago, you would go to a brewery, they'd have maybe one menu type. You get a paper menu, you see something on the wall, they have that one menu. Now it seems like you go to a brewery, you have the physical menu, you have the wall menu, you have the TV menu, you have so many different types of even that QR code menu. There are so many different types of menus that you can choose from. Before I give the spoiler, I want to let you know that, you know, when we first did this study, we found that guests spend 25% more when having a physical menu. And one of the reasons I like a physical menu, if I'm at a brewery alone, I'm going to be sitting at the bar. I'm going to read this physical menu. I'm going to learn everything about that brewery. I'm going to get excited for my next drink. I'm really going to have the information I need to make an educated choice. And if Carrie, if you and I are there together, what menu is going to be a conversation piece? Oh, you're going to have this. Oh, I'm thinking about this. What are you going to have next? And we're going to dive into that menu to kind of have an experience of what we're going to have for the rest of the time that we're there. So having that physical menu is awesome. And you might think that I'm going to say, well, just have physical menus, but that's not the solution. You know, all of your guests have different expectations, and it's important for you to reach all of them. And that's why we see breweries have so many different types of menus. You want to have that big wall menu that someone can read from halfway across your building. That way, they can read it by the time they get to the ordering counter. Because if you're waiting on guests to decide what they want when they get to your ordering counter, that's going to slow down your line. That's going to cause confusion. That's going to make them have that rushed decision, like I did in my example, where they might end up with something they really don't want. So providing guests that physical menu when they walk in, that big menu on the wall they can look at, that TV menu they can see from their seat, providing these guests multiple menu types is really important. I saw something really unique at a brewery recently that I spoke to. They had these tabletop signs. They have an ordering experience at the counter, but when guests come back and sit at their tables, they have a little tabletop thing. On one side of it, it says thirsty with a QR code and a link to their beer menu. And on the back, it says hungry with a QR code link to their food menu. And I absolutely love that because often you go sit down at a table, and if you don't have something physical there, if the brewery only has that wall menu or that just, TV menu, you're not going to really be looking at it while you're at that table. But having some sort of menu or your direction while you're sitting down is going to get you thinking about what else you want. And am I thirsty? Why, yes, I am thirsty. And you better believe that I'm hungry because I brought my 4-year-old with me and he needs to eat too. So, when you think about this ordering experience, you just want to make it as efficient as possible because the guest is going to spend more money. And at the end of the day, it comes down to reaching guests as many ways you can with information on those menus that's going to give them the tool to make the right decision for themselves.
Got to make it easy for them to spend money with
Got to
food.
make it easy.
I think that's a great point. And see, what I really love about these tips is that they're not terribly expensive to implement or time consuming. They're just a little bit of thinking about it differently. Because I think there was a trend for a while there where QR codes were all the rage, and we don't need anything else, just a QR code. And you essentially alienate the person who doesn't like QR codes, doesn't know how to use them, didn't bring their phone, or maybe happens to be in a different demographic where I don't look at my phone every 15 seconds, or frankly, you just can't read it. I mean, I've hit the QR code, I'm on my phone, I don't have my readers with me, And so I think, yeah, coming, and personally, I love paper menus because I want to hold it, I'm tack, I want to look through it, I want to spin it around, and it always is interesting, like if you go to, location, and you've got maybe the food menu and the beer menu in front of you, and you place your order and they take everything away. I'm like, no, I'm going to have another, leave that here. So I think having it available, making it easy to order, giving them different options is really the way to go. And it's a very low stakes way to do it, right? It's not a lot of expense. It's not a lot of investment on the brewery side. It's really just, as you said, guests have different expectations, so it's up to us to meet them.
And I know a lot of people are probably thinking, Andrew, you're going to make us print paper menus every single day. Well, hold up for a sec, because you might not have to do that. Depending on how quickly you're rotating beers, I've got a suggestion for you. Having the physical menus definitely has value, as we've talked about, but also consider maybe doing like a hybrid. What I mean by that is have the physical menu that lists your flagship beers on it, the things that aren't going to change. Then drop that QR code in at the bottom and say, hey, scan for our seasonal or limited edition offerings. That way they have the ability to see the full menu, and that way you're not printing a new menu every day.
Yeah, exactly. And think about it. It's like, sure, we don't want to create unnecessary paper and waste. That's not what we're talking about. But we want to create a better guest experience. And if they come in and that paper is there, I know for me, a lot of times I'll be like, had a great experience, had a number of beers that I really liked. I kind of like to take this menu home with it. Then maybe I can find it out in the store, or I can tell my buddies about it. Or as I'm relaying the experience, they can say, well, what, you mentioned this place, these beers, what exactly was it? I'm like, I can't remember, but if I've got the thing, I can refer back. So it's really just another, it's an ordering piece, but it's also could be construed as a marketing piece. Maybe you put, hey, sign up for our newsletter on here, or visit our website, or we've got an event coming up, or, why not reach them in different ways?
More information you give the guests, the better, the more they will spend. 100%.
Absolutely. Well, we've obviously covered a lot of ground here, my man, and people listening are probably, I would imagine, intrigued with, the Secret Hopper service because it just checks a lot of boxes. We're always on the lookout for ways to, stand out from the crowd, differentiate ourselves. It's hard out there. How do you get people to notice you and come in and come back more frequently? And, one way to do it is focus on all the things you've talked about here today. So if people are interested in maybe take us through the process. Like somebody's like, how do I go about this? What does the onboarding look like? Who do I talk to? Maybe just the mechanics of someone list going from listening to the podcast to actually, say, I want to give this a shot. What does that look like?
So just like the taproom experience, we want to make it as easy and efficient as possible. So anyone can sign up and learn more at secrethopper.com. And when someone signs up, I want to hop on a call with you. I want to make sure we understand your needs and goals of the program and we customize it for you. We have a standard questionnaire that we use, but not every brewery taproom experience is the same. So we want to make sure we're providing you with the data that's going to help you reach your goals and create more memorable and profitable experiences. And why does this matter? There are so many amazing breweries out there right now. Consumers have more options than ever. And believe it or not, people are still discovering craft beer, and there are people who have not been to your taproom before. So we've got this really amazing data point. When a first-time guest comes to your taproom, they receive that low level of engagement where your staff's really just going through the motions and doesn't care. They're only 45% likely to come again, tell a friend. You know what that means? They're not coming back unless someone's dragging them back to your taproom. They're going to go to another option next time they go out. But if they come to your taproom for the first time, feel connected, get to know your team, find the right beer, and receive that high level of engagement, they are 99% likely to tell their friends and come again. And it's our goal to customize a report that's going to provide you the tools and data to maximize that experience and help you get guests coming back over and over again, not just for the beer, but for your team and for that community that you've created.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's measuring those key markers. We talk about them ad nauseum, and we'll say them again. It's, you know, the things that are going to drive your business are the number of people that come in, what they spend when they do, and the frequency with which they return. And all of the things that you talked about touch on each of these data points. So I think it's great stuff, and people should definitely check it out. So we'll link that in the show notes and provide a summary of all the different tips, tactics, and data that we've covered here today. So, Andrew, thanks so much for your time. As always, wonderful to see you. Great information, and really appreciate you, man.
Appreciate this opportunity, Carrie. Have an awesome day.
Thank you for listening to the Craft Brewery Financial Training Podcast, where we combine beer and numbers so that you can improve financial results in your brewery. For more resources, tools, guides, and online courses, visit craftbreweryfinancialtraining.com. And don't forget to sign up for the world-famous Craft Brewery Financial Training newsletter. Until next time, get out there and improve financial results in your brewery today.